God bless you. Thank you, worship team, for your service this morning as well. We appreciate it very, very much. It's good to be in church today, good to be in church with God's people, and it's always encouraging to see you and to have some guests here this morning. We thank you, some visitors. We appreciate you being with us in this, our first of two services we have this morning. I'd like you to turn, please, to the 9th chapter of John today, please. The 9th chapter of John. And I want to read 12 verses to begin with. Actually, this incident that we're going to read about, this miracle of the healing of the blind man, the discussion of that begins a chapter before and will go on into chapter 10. It just kind of it really is larger than just the miracle that happens. But I want to read verses 1 through 12 of John chapter 9 this morning and then share with you some thoughts about the healing of this blind man and the restoration of his sight. So John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Let me reread that. The disciples asked the question, "Rabbi, who sinned? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Verse 4, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had said these things, Jesus spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And the word Siloam means literally to be sent, or to sent, the sent pool. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is this not he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore, they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." Now, it's going to go on from there, and we'll touch on some other verses, but that will be our starting point. The question this morning, what lens are we using to look at things? What lens are we looking through? I was talking to Eddie here a few months ago, and I said, "Boy, I'm sure having trouble with my sunglasses that I had." And I'm one of those big spenders on sunglasses. If they're above $1.99, I don't buy them. And so I was buying all of these rather inexpensive sunglasses. And so we were riding in Eddie's truck, and I said, "Boy, I'm sure having trouble with these sunglasses." And Ed reached up into a cupboard or a little thing in his truck, and he said, "Here, try these, Dad." And boy, I put those on, and wow, was it different. Was it different? Eddie doesn't buy $1.99 sunglasses. He knows better. And they weren't terribly expensive, but they were wonderful. And I could see things just through a different lens, and it made all the difference in the world. How many know what I'm talking about, right? What lens are you looking through? Jimmy's doing some work at my house, and so yesterday I was spraying some weed killer and as part of the project, and as I'm spraying the weed killer, things looked a little odd, and I said, "Oh, Jimmy, am I wearing my glasses over my sunglasses?" Because I had gloves on, And sure enough, I had sunglasses on, the better pair, but I put my glasses on over them so I could read the directions. None of you have ever done that, right? None of you have ever done that. And I forgot to take them off. And so as I'm spraying, I'm going, boy, this is, I'm not seeing things clearly. And I said, Jimmy, do I have my reading glasses on over the sunglasses? Because I couldn't touch them. He said, yeah, you do, Pastor. And so I took those off, and oh my, how I could see much better, right? Now that's an old folks story, so you young folks, you'll have to put up with that. Your day will come. What lens are we using to see things? This miracle that Jesus performed was amazing, but Jesus also used it to challenge the thinking of several groups of people that are associated with the miracle. So here's a question. What lens do we use when we look at things, or when we look at people? Do we judge others by what we see through the lens that we are using? And is it possible that we too may need a trip to the Siloam pool to wash our eyes so we can see in a different perspective? Amen? So we can see with different eyes. I want to take a closer look this morning at the people that reacted to this wonderful miracle of Jesus. Go back to verses 1 through 3, if you would, please. Verses 1 through 3. Here the disciples are, and as Jesus passed by, he saw this man who was born blind, so he is naturally a beggar. Generally speaking, in the Bible days, if you were blind, you were a beggar. That was the only way that you could make a living and add funds to your family's family's budget so that they could help take care of you. So if you were blind, generally you were a beggar. And so the disciples asked him, they saw this blind man, and they said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see, the disciples right then were looking through the lens of how they were raised. And how they were raised was this. They were taught, and I might say wrongly, they were taught that if you were blind, you had to have committed some kind of sin, or or your parents had to have sinned, and the result was God's judgment of blindness. Now, we know that is not true, but the disciples were looking through the lens of how they were raised. They were taught that. Jesus will correct that teaching in verse 3. Look at what he said. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. This blindness is not a result of sin. It's not a result of him sinning. It's not a result of his parents sinning. This man is blind that the works of God should be revealed in him. He is blind because God wants to use him to do an incredible miracle. It has nothing to do with sin. And I resent today those that would say to people that have a sickness, you must have sinned and that's why you're sick. I resent that. That is not necessarily the case. Now, do I believe that sin can lead to things? Yes, I do. I believe there are sinful acts that we can do that will end up in us being injured or damaged or sick in some way. We know that can happen. But just because someone is sick, just because someone has a disease, just because someone is blind, doesn't necessarily mean they have sinned or that somebody in their family has sinned. Come on, amen. Jesus corrects this, but the disciples, in fairness to them, were looking through the lens of how they were raised. And the question this morning is, do we do that sometimes? How were we raised? Were we raised to believe that someone, if they're sick, had some kind of sin in their life? If we were raised that way, that's the way we see things. And we need God to wash our eyes. We need to go to the pool and wash our eyes and get a better view of how things work. Come on, right? We need a biblical view. All right? So there was the disciples. That's how they looked at this blind man. Then we have the neighbors, verses 8 through 12. Verse 8, therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, no, he is like him. And then he said, no, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he said, a man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, said to me, go wash, and so I did. And then the neighbor said, okay, where is he? And he says, I don't know. He just healed me. He put mud on my eyes. He spouted the ground, put mud on my eyes, sent me away, and then he left. I don't know where he is. So the neighbors, I think, are looking at this miracle through the lens of uncertainty. They're not sure what happened. They're not even sure if this is really the guy or not. Is this really the neighbor? Now, there must have been a lot of beggars. There must have been a lot of blind people in that neighborhood. I don't know. Why wouldn't the neighbors have known whether it was him or not? Did they look that much alike? And so they're really speaking through a lens of uncertainty. And you know, sometimes I think we do that. If we're not certain about something, if we look through the lens of uncertainty, we can vacillate back and forth. And especially in the day that we live, I think people vacillate sometimes with saying, well, is this really wrong biblically or is it not wrong biblically? And if you don't know your Bibles, you're going to look through the lens of uncertainty, and you're probably going to go with the amount of peer pressure put on you. Well, maybe this is okay to do, or maybe this is not okay to do. It's an uncertainty. It's the lens of uncertainty. If we don't know exactly for sure what the Bible teaches about something, we're going to be like water, right? Water is, it seeks its own level. It's always seeking its own level. And what I think one of the most dangerous things for a Christian today is to look through the lens of uncertainty. If we're not sure about something and we're not sure whether it's right or wrong, we need to go to the source of right and wrong and find out for ourselves what God says. Amen. This book will help us deal with the lens of uncertainty. Now, there are situations that we look at and we're not sure why they happened. And that's normal. And I'm not saying that we may get the answer to all of those things. There are some things that we just have to put into the hands of God and say, Lord, I don't know why this happened. You do. And so I'm trusting you that you will help me look through a different lens than a lens of uncertainty. And so that's what the neighbors did. They weren't really sure what was going on. There are people today, I'm sure, that are uncertain whether Jesus is the Son of God. They're uncertain whether this Christianity thing is worth anything at all. They're just not certain. And for those people, my heart goes out to them, but I want to say to all of them, look, there is a way you can be certain. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said these words, I am persuaded to believe that he is able to commit that, to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I am certain Jesus can keep that. I am certain. Paul knew for sure, as a matter of fact, Jesus was the Son of God. And I believe it's possible for people to know that. There are good books available. There are films available. There are ways that we can be certain that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I'm talking to people who believe that he is. Amen. So there's not uncertainty, perhaps, in your heart, but maybe there is in someone else. And so if you see that in someone and you have the opportunity, there are ways that you can talk to them and help them really know that Jesus Christ is real. I could go into a few of those, but I won't for the sake of time this morning. So the lens of uncertainty. If you're not sure what the Bible says about it, then get your Bible open, get someone you trust, and begin to read and study and find the answer so that you're not looking through the lens of uncertainty. All right, the next group of people are the Pharisees. And this really takes place from verses 13 to 34. And this is a discussion now with the Pharisees. Now, let me just point out this about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were constantly badgering Jesus. When he began his public ministry, they were some of his first critics. Now, there were some of the Pharisees who believed, and then because of peer pressure, they backed off. But for the most part, the Pharisees were against Jesus. They hated him. They just didn't care for him at all, and they purposely tried to get people not to listen to him. And that's what's happening in verses 13 through 34. All right? And there are three things that I think make the Pharisees stand out here. Number one, The Pharisees were looking through the lens of legalism. They were looking through the lens of legalism. Legalism is that teaching that if you don't do it our way, you are wrong and you're going to hell. That's legalism. Legalism, it's like a chain. It's what the book of Galatians was written to counter, right? Who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians, that you would go back to believing that there's other ways to God other than through Jesus Christ? Legalism. Sad to say, there are some churches who are so legalistic, and the teaching is that if you don't do it exactly like we put it out, not like anybody else, but you do it exactly like us, and if you don't, you're out, you're bad, you're on bad ground, and you're not going to go to heaven, you're going to go to hell. That is legalism, and legalism is a torment. Come on. It is a torment. And so the Pharisees looked through legalism. Look at verse 15. Or verse 13. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. So here comes the blind man who is now able to see, and he's brought before this group of self-appointed Jesus haters, and he's standing before the Pharisees, and it was verse 14. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this is verse 16, this man is not from God. Jesus is not from God. And what was their reason? Look at what it says. Because he does not keep the Sabbath. He violated the Sabbath. What did they mean by that? You see, the Pharisees had some very strict rules for Sabbath conduct, seventh-day conduct. And they were far more reaching out and in bondage than that God had ever intended when he set up the Sabbath in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, it is said by many that the Pharisees' laws of Sabbath, that in order to keep some, you had to break others. That's how manipulative they were. That's how bondage they were. And you couldn't go, but you could only walk this far, and you couldn't prepare this much, and you couldn't do this, and you couldn't do that. They had so restricted people on the Sabbath day, you could hardly breathe without breaking Sabbath rules. And so Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees, looking through the lens of legalism, said, he is not of God because he healed you on the Sabbath day. Is that ridiculous? Come on. Jesus would confront this in another place and say that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Is it good to do good on the Sabbath? There was a man with a withered arm, and Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath and said, reach forth your hand. And the man reached and his hand was healed. And everyone went, Were they amazed at the miracle? No. They were mad because he did that on the Sabbath day. And when I read that, I always want to ask, what if it was your arm? Hello? Come on. What if it was your arm? Would you be mad if it was your arm? Would you be mad if it was your dad who was blind? Would you be upset? You see, legalism binds people, makes them bound. You better wear what I wear to church, because if you don't, you're not welcome in our church. Hello? If you can't say amen, say oh my. Okay? You better look the way I look. You better act the way I act. You better teach the way I teach. You better do everything my way. That's legalism. And I want to tell you right now, we have no room for legalism. We have no time for it. And it's of the enemy, because all it does is bind people up. Come on. Amen. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. Come on. There is freedom in the Lord. There is freedom. But sadly, some people are looking through the lens of legalism. And let me just say this without getting on a soapbox. I think that is a major reason we're having the problems in our nation today. And you can call it whatever you want to, but I believe it's because people are looking at things through the lens of legalism. that if you don't act like I act and look like I look and believe what I look, then you are somehow a terrible, terrible person, and you need to just die. I think that's the reason we're having a lot of the trouble we're having today. God, deliver this nation from legalism. Come on, amen. Deliver us from that. And then it appears to me that the Pharisees also were looking through the lens of hatred. Look at verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they had called the parents of him who had received his sight. We'll talk about the parents in a moment. But now what they do is they put his parents on trial. They so hated Jesus that they didn't care who they hurt. The man who was born blind, his parents, we don't care. We'll put anybody on the stand that we want to, and we'll persecute anyone we want to. Why? Because we hate him. They were looking through the lens of hatred. How many know today the lens of hatred will destroy you? Come on. The lens of hatred will destroy you. I hate that person. So we're looking through the lens of hatred. I hate what they do. I hate what they eat. I hate what they drive. I hate everything they say. I hate, I hate, I hate. Hate is a terrible thing, and it has no place in the Christian's life. Come on. It is a lens that we should never, ever, ever have. That we look at people with hatred in our eyes. No, but that's what the Pharisees did. They looked at Jesus with hatred. They so hated him, they didn't care who they hurt. And then the third thing I think the Pharisees looked through the lens is the lens of anger. His parents said these things, verse 22, because they feared the Jews. And then the Jews, verse 34. They answered and said to him, the man born blind, you were completely born in sins, and you're teaching us, because they asked him what his opinion was, and he gave it, and they said, you're teaching us, and they cast him out. That literally means they excommunicated him from the church. Why? Because they were looking through the lens of anger. They were so angry that this man was healed, so angry that Jesus had done it, so angry because he'd done it on the Sabbath day, so angry that they couldn't turn people against him, that they were looking through the lens of anger. That's another lens the Christian should never look through. Come on. No matter what happens to us, we have to look through a different lens. And I'm afraid that's, again, where our world is. They're looking through the lens of anger and hatred and legalism. And God help the church to lead the way in looking through a different lens today. Come on, amen? Amen. And then look at the parents. The parents are called in. Verse 18. The Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. So they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say were born blind? How then does he now see? Verse 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. He's of age, ask him. The very next verse explains why the parents said that. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. The parents were looking through the lens of fear. They were afraid. They were so afraid, they wouldn't even stand up for their son because they didn't want to be kicked out of the church. They said, ask him. He's of age. Let him be accountable, because they feared. The lens of fear will cripple us. The lens of fear will make us do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. If I'm these parents, I'm standing up for my son. I don't care how old he is. It happened one day. Anyone knows. But an accusation, an incredible, terrible thing was said about my daughter. And I tell you, I got on the phone, and in no uncertain terms, I said, you think what you want to think, but you are wrong, and I stand with her. And if it comes to her or you, I'm standing with her because you're out of line and you're out of order. And you may say, Pastor, that wasn't a very Christian thing to do. No, I think that was a very Christian thing to do because it was a lie. And you have to come against lies. But here, these parents wouldn't even stand with their son because they were so afraid. We need to get rid of the lens of fear and stand strong for those who need our help, for the ones that really need defending, for those who really need to be supported. Come on, amen. Amen. The lens. I don't have time this morning, but other lenses that people may see things through, consider these lenses. The lens of pain. And God knows people that are in pain, they didn't ask for that pain. That pain is there. And sometimes if you're not careful, though, you'll allow the pain to put a lens on you, and you will react and speak out of pain. Many of you have heard this story. Some of you are new, haven't, so I'll tell it for those who haven't. And for those who've heard it before, it's because I'm old. When I was a freshman in high school, I lived in Tillamook, Oregon on a dairy farm. And we had two little dachshunds, you know, those little weenie dog things. And they slept at the foot of my bed. They were my pets. They loved me. They loved me more than my brothers. You know, my mother said they were hers, but they weren't. They were mine. And one of them, the smallest one, it was Lady and Baby, and Baby was the smallest. And Baby would sit there waiting for the school bus to come, and she would wag her tail, and she would always beat Mama coming at me, and she would jump, and she would lick, and she would roll over, and I would pick fleas off of her, and we just had this wonderful relationship. And one day, the farmer was driving, and he didn't see little dachshund run out in the road, and he hit her. And she was laying in the road bleeding, and I ran over and I just grabbed her, and she bit me. Oh, she bit me hard, and I could hardly pull my finger out. And immediately these words came to my mind: hurting dogs bite. She didn't bite me because she hated me. She bit me because she was in pain. And I don't know how many times the Lord has reminded me of that incident in dealing with people as a pastor. People will say things and do things out of pain. Hurting dogs bite. They don't do it because they hate you. They do it because they're hurting. And many times we've got to look through the lens of understanding that. And that explains a lot and helps us understand how we can deal with people. Amen? Come on. How about the lens of hurt, pain? I've said that. Maybe someone's been hurt by someone before. What about prejudice? Oh, Lord. Maybe you were raised to be prejudiced. Maybe, I know in my day, there were certain things that I was taught as a young boy that were prejudicial. And I had to relearn them, realizing that those that taught me that were wrong. And I had to relearn it. But if we look through the lens of prejudice, that's all we can see is the prejudice. How about judgmentalism? When we look through the lens of judgmentalism is making a judgment that it's not your right to judge. You don't have a right to judge it. That's judgmentalism. How about disappointment? We've been disappointed. The disappointment means hurt. And we look through the lens of disappointment, and everything is clouded but that lens. I've been disappointed before, so I'll never trust anyone again. I'll never love anyone again. I'll never be a friend with anyone again because I was hurt. I was disappointed. And what about the lens of the past? Oh, the past. I'm going to put on the lens of the past. And anything that ever happened back there, I'm going to guard myself. I'm never going to let it happen to me again. And what happens is that we isolate ourselves. And we could go on and on and on. But I'll tell you, what we need is we need, like the blind man, we need to be able to have Jesus spit on the ground and make some mud. Amen? I love this verse, and I used it when I was a little boy when my mama said, Eddie, you spit too much. And say, okay, I tried to stop. And then before I knew it, I'd spit again. Not tobacco, okay, but just spit. And she'd say, Eddie, you spit too much. And then finally I read this verse in the Bible, and I said, Mom, look it, Jesus did it. And so my mom stopped telling me I spit too much, because who can top Jesus, amen? He spit on the ground, he made clay, he put it in his eyes. Maybe we need a good mud bath. And go to the pool and get washed so we can wash away the lens of how we were raised, or uncertainty, or legalism, or hatred, or anger, or fear, or judgmentalism, prejudice. Lord, wash our eyes so we can have the lens of love and mercy and forgiveness and understanding and kindness and patience, because that's the biblical view, and that's how God wants us to look at things. Amen. That's how God wants us to look at things. You say, Pastor, you're naive. You look at things through that, and people will take advantage of you. Oh, listen, my friend, that's how Jesus looked through things. That's the lens that he looked through. And if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Come on, amen. Amen. It is what the Bible teaches us that we ought to do. Now, I don't have time this morning. My time's up. Matt's coming now to kind of help us wrap this up. But read this later. Luke chapter 6. Read Jesus' statements in verses 36 to 45. Luke 6, 36 through 45, where he says, therefore, you know, take on mercy. And then he talks about judgmentalism. And then he talks about the blind leading the blind. And he talks about how important it is that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth has to speak. And he deals exactly, in my opinion, with this idea of us needing a new lens to look through. So how do we wash away the mud and receive our proper lens? Quickly listen, if you would. Number one, confess to God that we've been using the wrong lens. God, I've been looking at this person through the wrong lens. I've been looking at this situation through the wrong lens. Number two, ask for the strength to change it. Lord, I ask you for the strength to take off those glasses and put on these so I can see it more clearly. Number three, invite the Holy Spirit to be involved in the process. Holy Spirit, help me to see this person through a different lens. Help me to see this situation. Help me to see you, God, through a different lens. Number four, start looking at people and situations through the biblical lens. Not through the worldview, but the biblical view and that lens. Number five, practice, practice, practice. Because it's not easy what I'm asking. It's not easy to take off those glasses. It's not easy to take off the hatred and the hurt and the fear lens. Number six, don't give up when it gets hard. Oh, it's hard, Pastor. I can't look at that person with anything but just anger. I know it's hard, but God specializes in helping us with hard things. Amen? And then number seven, ask this question, and I know it's trite and overused, but how would Jesus look at this situation? What lens would he use? And then that's the lens that I want. And then lastly, how did the blind man see this miracle? If you read verses, chapter 9, verses 30 and 30 through 38, you see how the blind man, who can now see, and the lens he used, and all he simply did was honest, and he said, all I can tell you is that a man named Jesus healed me, and I can see clearly. And he says to the Pharisees, do you want to believe too? And they said, you that were born in sin, teach us. You're out of here. They excommunicated him. And then the Bible says, when Jesus heard they had kicked him out, Jesus came to him and said, do you believe that I am the Son of God? Do you believe in the Son of God? The blind man said, you show him to me and I'll believe him. And he says, I'm the one that's talking to you. And the blind man believed and worshiped. And I think that's what all of us have to do. We have to believe and worship. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Yes, give the Lord a hand. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, thank you today that you can wash away the lens. You can wash away the way we've been looking at things if it's not been pleasing to you. Father, I don't know who in this in the service might have needed this message. I know I need it. But if anybody else will join me and say, that's me, I needed this. I've been looking at people or the situation, or I've been looking at God all wrong, through the wrong lens. Jesus, I need a new lens. I need a new way of looking at things. And that new way can be found in the Bible. Jesus, help me to realize that some of the lenses that I use weren't even of my own doing. They were probably handed down to me. But Lord, I refuse to use those lenses anymore. I want to use the lens that God wants me to use in the name of Jesus. When I look at people, people I love, people I don't care much for. Lord, when I look at the world, when I look at people who are without Christ, living a way different than I would live, help me to see the lens that I'm looking through. And let it be the lens you would use, Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. And I know it's not easy, but I know it's possible. Help us to be like the blind man and go and wash in the pool and come back healed. Hallelujah. Come back seeing properly because of the touch of Jesus. Jesus, touch us. Help us to be better for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. The Lord go with you and have a great, great Sunday. We'll see you next week, if not before. God bless you.